First, I must chant some preliminary mantras in order to make myself fit for speaking. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. First, I have to remember and pray to my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, without whom I would know nothing about Krishna consciousness or the deep spiritual philosophy of India. Everything I speak, everything I know, is from his writings, his talks, and his blessings. Now I must chant a mantra to put me in the proper mood. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I have been instructed by my Ishtadev, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I must always think of myself low, meek, humble. That is the secret of spiritual success. Then I have to be tolerant, more tolerant than a tree. Then I have to offer respects to you because Krishna is in your heart. So I have to always remember that regardless of who you are, even little doggy, Krishna is in the heart. So I'm offering respects. And then the next instruction is, I cannot have any conception or any kind of desire for people to praise me. That should not be anything that I'm concerned about. People will praise, people will criticize. I should have nothing to do with that. If I have that mentality, then I am fit for speaking on the science of God. Then the mantra that I live by, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam, Kadau Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatiranyata. This is the age of Kali, the age of quarrel and confusion, the age of hypocrisy, fighting, and we see that in the last few months, more and more all over the world, fighting, fighting, fighting. It's the iron age of Kali. Therefore, the only religion, actually, is the chanting of the holy name of God. Whatever religion, and I'm going to sing a song later about this, whatever name of God you have in your religion, chant the name of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But I've been asked to speak on Bhagavad Gita. Where's your wife? You're missing your Bhagavad Gita. Come on in. Enough with the kitchen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now we can start. So there are 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, spoken 5,000 years ago at an historical event known as the Battle of Kurukshetra. On the first day of the battle, this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So there are 18 chapters, and chapter 7 is called Knowledge of the Absolute. This phrase, Knowledge of the Absolute, here in this world, We don't find absolute things. Everything is relative. Everything is temporary. Our bodies, our cars, our jobs, our homes. Everything is temporary and relative to something else, dependent on something else. But God is absolute, independent. The example is the sun and the sunshine, or the sun rays. They exist simultaneously, but the sun ray cannot exist independent of the sun. The sun, planet, is the source of the sun rays. Similarly, you and me, all living beings, even the material energy, everything that exists is emanating from the absolute truth, which can be known by various names, thousands and thousands of names. But since I follow a particular path, this absolute truth is referred to as Krishna. And Krishna also means the all-attractive. We're all attracted to something: wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, renunciation, power. Krishna is that entity who has all opulences unlimitedly at the same time. We can't brag that. We can't. Nobody can say, I have all the opulences and I have them unlimitedly. Sorry. Nobody can brag except Krishna, because he is the absolute. So this chapter, the seventh chapter, is all about knowledge of the absolute truth. And we're going to study a certain section. If you're ready to proceed, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. This is my school bell, so we're in class. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. It also helps keep people awake. Because as soon as I see somebody dozing, I'll go like this. Oh. Okay, so we're going to start off with verse number 14. Daivihi yesha gunamayi mumamaya duratyaya mam eveye prapadyante mayam etang tarantite. Here Krishna says that this material world, the universe, the entire material cosmic manifestation is one of his energies. Krishna, God, has innumerable energies. This material energy, which we are dealing with moment after moment, is one of his energies. And it is categorized in three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right now, you are in goodness. Those who are doing things, trying to enjoy right now, soccer games, different things, they're in the mode of passion, trying to enjoy the material energy. Then there's the mode of ignorance. This is Saturday, so what people are going to do tonight? Drink and gamble and do all kinds of sinful activities, especially when the sun sets. That's the mode of ignorance. So everyone is engaging in activities, and sometimes our activities are in goodness, sometimes passion, sometimes goodness. But for now, you're safe, you're protected. You are here, hearing about Bhagavad, you're in the mode of goodness. And therefore, automatically, right now, you will get blessings from God. How can I say that? Because the Bhagavad Gita says, God is in your heart. And in your heart. And he sees, oh, you're hearing about me? Very good. All right, so right now, God is blessing you. Even this little child, even though she's not be able to understand what I'm saying, still the sound vibration and the atmosphere we're creating is benefiting her. At even Sammy. Very good. So Krishna says that this material world, which we are struggling with, is actually impossible or insurmountable. But Krishna says there is one way you can easily surpass it. How do you do that? By surrendering. By giving your heart, giving your love to God. If you do that, then you can easily overcome the stringent laws of material nature. In the next verse, Namang duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama mayaparita jnana asurang bhavam asrita. So in this verse, Krishna says, however, there are certain people who do not surrender to him. Now when I say Krishna, if you don't like the name Krishna, or you have another name for God, good. That's okay. So in this verse, God is saying that those who don't surrender to me, they are in certain categories. They may be very, very foolish human beings. We see that on the television. You see so many times foolish criminals or foolish behavior. Then there are people who are what we call two-legged animals. They have no interest in the soul, in God. All they care about is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So they're the lowest of mankind because their activities are no different than the activities of an animal. Because what is human life? Human life means to inquire who I am, who is God, what is my relationship with God. This is the purpose of human life. Not simply to imitate the animals in a polished way. That's not the goal of human life. Human life should be, who am I? What is my relationship with God? Who is God? Why am I here? These kinds of questions. Then there is the intelligent rascal. The intelligent rascal may have so many degrees on the wall, may be a politician or this or that, but they have knowledge, but their knowledge is stolen by illusion. That's another kind. They'll not worship or surrender to God because they think they know it all. Maybe you've heard people say, I don't need any God. I have everything. That's another kind of foolish rascal. And then the worst class, the out and out atheistic demon. Not only does he hate God, but he hates people who love God and goes after them. Bad enough you hate God, but then you go after people who love God, that's the lowest. They're the worst. The atheistic demons. Maybe, I don't know. I've had experience with demons. Maybe you haven't. Maybe in your workplace. Anyway, that's that verse. Now comes the next. Chaturvidha bhajante mang jana sukritinorjuna artho jigyasur artharti Gyanicha Bharatarshaba. So now Krishna says, however, there are four kinds of people who do surrender or approach him or begin to come to him. And these are called pious. So, who are they? When someone is in distress, but they're not bad, they're good, pious people, then out of distress, they go to God. Then another one. Yes, Krishna even accepts someone who is desiring wealth, but has the good sense, let me go to God and get wealth from God. Then there is the third class. This is a little better. The inquisitive. The person who wants to find out. So who is God? What is God? How is God? How should... So they're inquisitive. They're trying to find out who is God. And then the fourth one. Somebody who actually is searching for the absolute truth. So sometimes it can be one of these, or in my case, I was a couple. When I found Krishna, I was definitely in distress. I definitely was inquisitive, and I was actually searching for the absolute truth. So for myself, I fit three of these. In your case, it may be different. But these are the four basic kinds of people who approach God. Now what does Krishna say? Teshang jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyohi jnani no tyartam ahang satcha mama priya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in loving devotional service is the best. So of the four, the one who has knowledge of the absolute truth and has decided to love and serve God, he is the best out of the four. And now Krishna says, for I am very dear to him or her, and that person is dear to me. So that's significant. I'm going to sing a song later called God is a Person. If God's a person, then it is possible for you to be dear to God and God to be dear to you. So only you can answer that question. Only you can ask yourself, is God special to me? Is God dear to me? Or is God something once in a while? Or is God something just like, I'm sure the children are very dear to the parents, are they not? The parent is always worried and concerned about the child. So am I at that stage where God is always absorbing my thoughts and I'm very much concerned? That would mean that I fill the bill. Yes, God is, and if God is very dear to me, then I automatically become very dear to God. Just like our honeymoon couple. Okay? Are you always thinking of her? Even while you're at work, right? Yes. Are you always thinking of him? That's love. Love means you can't stop thinking. Parents, I'm sure you went through this when your little children finally went to college. You would be cleaning the room and you'd see a picture and you would remember, oh. Like my wife, she has all these pictures of our daughter and grandson. My wife is so much into my grandson. So she'll be around the house, she'll see that picture, and immediately the memories come. Oh, I remember this. I remember this. I remember this. That's when you know you love somebody, because you're always thinking. And Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Somebody who loves me is always thinking of me. But if I'm only thinking of God maybe once or twice a year, then my love of God is very, very tiny. Like I know people. I know Indian people. I know all kinds of people. What do they think about the most? Money. I know people. Trust me. I know people. All they think about night and day. Money, money, money. Sweeter than honey. Although they can't take it with them when they die. Still. Or right now, there's a lot of people. What are they thinking about? Sports. Betting on the sports game. Even in, there are a lot of fantasy pools where you work. Everybody's, right? And everybody's doing their job, but they're thinking about, oh, who should I bet on this week? So what you think about tells you where your heart lies. Okay, let's go on. Udara sarva evaite gyani twatmaiva mematam astita sahi yuktatma mamevanutamangatim. So now Krishna says, okay, I just said who was the topmost, but whether you fall into any of those four categories, the distress, looking for wealth, inquisitive, or actually searching for the absolute truth, Krishna says all of them are great. All of them are good, magnanimous. But he says, but somebody who knows about me is just like myself. And if that person continues in their bhakti, in their devotional service, they will ultimately reach Krishna. They will be with him. And they will reach the supreme goal. Then comes a verse that many, many people are familiar with. Bahunang janmanamante gyanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. So here Krishna says, after many births and deaths, so here is a concept that is foreign to many religions, but not foreign to those who study Bhagavad Gita, because it was the first thing that Krishna spoke about, that you will experience reincarnation. This is not your first rodeo. You have had many births in the past. You are now in this body, and you're going to have many more in the future. And so I like to say, get used to yourself, because you're going to be around forever. You're not going to be that body. You'll be something else. So Krishna says, after many births and deaths, when somebody actually understands what is life, then they surrender to him. He uses the word prapadyate. So if you have come to that point in your existence where you surrender to Krishna, this is not something that has happened overnight. It has been going on for millions of lifetimes, as Krishna says, after many. Now, why does somebody surrender to Krishna? Because Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Everybody can say Vasudeva. That wasn't everybody. Okay, one word at a time. Vasudeva. Sarvam. Iti. Right. So, that meaning of that line, that's what I said, isn't it? I said itchy? Itty. I'll try better. So this means somebody comes to the realization that everything I see is coming from God. Everything is his property. The best example, here I am in your house. So when I come to your house, I have to know this is your couch. This is your, I can't say, I want that, right? This is not my property. It's not my property. So a self-realized soul understands everything is the property of God. That is a good level of self-realization. That always I'm understanding everything belongs to God. But Samahatma Sudurlabha, such a person is rarely found. It's rarely found, that person. Now, the next four verses deal with those who worship God with a small g. There's God, big G, capital G, and then there's God, small g. And there are four verses that Krishna speaks on this. So why does somebody worship what is called a small g or a demigod? Well, number one, They are driven by too much material desires. And Krishna says, but they worship that particular demigod. And if they do it according to the rules and regulations, they will get their desire. Yo yo yang yang tanum bhakta sradayarchitum ichchati tasya tasya chalang shradang tam eva vididham yaham. Now this verse is why I say Krishna is cool. Now, I'm pretty sure I said at the beginning, who's in your heart? Krishna or God? So Krishna says here, I am in everyone's heart, and as soon as somebody wants to worship one of my demigods, I make that person's faith steady. So just see how nice Krishna is. You don't want to worship him. He says, fine. Oh, you want to worship this particular? I'll help you. God is cool. He doesn't like, oh, you want to worship me, therefore I smash you. No. He says, okay. You want to worship something? I'll help you. I'll make your faith steady. That's why I say Krishna is the coolest, the greatest. No ego, no pride. You want to worship? I'll help you. Pretty nice. Let's continue. Sataya shradaya yuktas tasya radhanam ihate labache tata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. That last line is so important. So then Krishna says, after getting that faith from me, one worships the particular demigod and gets the fulfillment of desires. But Krishna says, in actuality, the benefits are bestowed by me, because in the heart of the demigod, who exists? Krishna. And it's Krishna in the heart of the demigod who's saying yes or no. So Krishna tells the demigod, whether it be Durga or Shiva or Hanuman or whoever, Ganesh, Krishna in their heart tells that particular demigod, fulfill that person's desire. So Krishna's saying, Mayaiva vihitan itan. Actually, I'm the one who is sanctioning everything that's going on. Final verse of this particular section of the demigod worships. Antavatu palangte sham tad babat yalpa medasam. Devan deva yajo yanti madbhukta yanti mam api. Krishna says, now here's the, what we say, the downside, or the, you know, sometimes you'll look at a car and they have the pros and the cons. Or anything. You go online and they have all these reviews for things. And they'll say, here are the pros and here's the cons. And if something has more cons than pros, you don't buy it. So here Krishna says, okay, I've told you now about demigod worship. Here are the cons. Here are the negatives. First of all, whatever you're going to get from the demigod is limited and temporary. Limited. In other words, it's not going to fully satisfy you, and it's temporary. It doesn't stay. So it's like people, they rack up a credit card, right? So then they figure out a way, you know, to pay off the credit card in installments, okay? Okay, but if you once again start racking up again, you haven't actually solved your problem. Your problem was temporarily taken care of. Same thing, people say you get caught speeding. All right, if it's your first time, you paid the fine. But then if you haven't learned your lesson and you do it again, like that. So it's limited and temporary. The benefits from the demigods are limited and temporary. Those who worship demigods, after death, they will go to that planet. And Krishna says, but those who worship me, come to me. So the question is, where do you want to go? You want to come back to this material world? Choice is yours. If you want to go to a particular demigod abode, you can go. Me? I have come to the conclusion, like I said before, Vasudevam Sarvamiti. I am convinced that everything comes from Krishna, and I want to go and return to Krishna at the end of this life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Does that satisfy you? That's, yes, exactly. It's not permanent either. Unless, there's one caveat. If you're actually able to reach the abode of Shiva, there is a particular abode of Shiva which is considered eternal. But you have to really worship properly. But in general, even the abode of Lord Brahma is temporary. But this particular abode of Shiva is beyond the material world. Okay? But in general, yes, the abode is temporary. Yes. Oh, we have a question.
But at some point we said that the reward at the abode of the car and become of the pride.
That's right. That's right. I answered this question in the following ways. Batuk knows Bhagavad Gita as good as me. Batukji, what does Krishna say more than once in the Bhagavad Gita about someone who reaches his abode? You see that? Once you get there, you won't. You will have learned your lesson. I've given the example already 100 times. Listen carefully, okay? When I was 5 years old, I took a pencil. I put it in the electric socket. My mother found me just in time because I was getting electrocuted. My mother found me and saved me. Okay. Is it possible, could I do that again? Could I? I could, right? If I was intoxicated or went crazy, I could. But do you think I will? No. You know that I'm not going to do that. But I could. So the same way, Krishna is saying you don't come back. Have faith in Krishna. Let Bhagavad Gita be your frame of reference. Don't overthink it. Men have a problem like that. Not just you. Men in general. They overthink it. Women have more of a gut feeling. Yes.
Last month when we were in Santhiya Temple, I think that or maybe before that, we said that when you get to the abode of Krishna, where the roads are made of... Like,
now that's heaven.
That's heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's still in the material world.
Okay. So what is the abode of Krishna? How is that?
The abode of Krishna, there are 3 regions. Dwaraka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. They're different. Dwaraka is the most opulent city. For instance, you may have heard descriptions of Ayodhya with Lord Ram. So the abode of Dwaraka is fabulously opulent, more fabulous than Indra's heaven. Not only that, everything is conscious, everything is spiritual. So even the couch, because there are couches, is conscious. Everything, even the land, is conscious. So the land is thinking, oh, Krishna is walking on me. So good. So the spiritual world is all conscious. There's no matter. It's spiritually physical. So there are couches and things, but not made of material elements, but of spiritual elements, which we call Chintamani. Okay? Then there's Mathura and then Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, the opulence is not like that of a king. In Dwaraka, it's like kingly opulence. But in Vrindavan, it's village opulence. So what is the opulence of a village? Cows. Beautiful water, Yamuna. And the moon. And the nice breezes and flowers. Because in Vrindavan, the real opulence is love. Everybody in Vrindavan simply loves Krishna more than anything. They just are always spontaneously in love with Krishna. And they serve him. Just like when the program comes, you cook, right? And you like to cook for the program, yes? So in the spiritual world, you may get to cook for Krishna. And you will be able to make Krishna what he likes. You will find out from Mother Yashoda. She will call you. Come, I want you to make this for my Krishna. And you will be in the kitchen with Yashoda, and you'll make something for Krishna. I'm just giving one example. Me, I want to sing for Krishna. Although they don't have guitars, that's okay. I still want to sing for Krishna. What else? Mathura is like in between. Mathura and Dwaraka, there's slight difference because Mathura is not Dwaraka and it's not Vrindavan. There's not much description about Mathura. Yep.
And I'm sure everybody's happy.
Oh, of course. Right? When you love somebody, aren't you happy?
Yeah, so it's a bliss, right?
Yes, bliss.
Right. So I'm comparing those three things, consciousness, love, bliss. You know, we always name those words with God.
Satchitananda.
Yes, that's it. So I'm comparing those three things with the world that we are in.
Yes.
We will get attacked with that distress and still be happy within us. So, would you compare that even though we are not in Krishna's abode, we are in this abode, can we still be...
If you live your life in what is called Krishna consciousness, you can realize what you're saying. It cannot be done artificially. But the whole purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita and living a spiritual life is that you are able to create that atmosphere where you are. That's actually how any temple is supposed to run. Unfortunately, most temples are ruined by temple politics. But ideally, whether it be a temple or your home, if you create that spiritual atmosphere where Krishna is in the center and everybody's cooperating, yes, it's possible to create that kind of atmosphere. Yes. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes cooperation. And we all know cooperation is the thing that's most lacking in this world. Good enough? All right. So now you want me to do some songs?
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on. I need batuk